الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال المؤلفون حفظهم الله تعالى المسألة السادسة الوليمة في النكاح فجئت سوى الله سبحانه وتعالى وآتوا الصلاة والسلام على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من الله سبحانه وتعالى increase our iman and protect everyone of us from all the evils. Today, inshallah, we move on to the sixth discussion under the the chapter of Kitab al-Nikah, the concept of marriage in Islam. And this sixth discussion has to do with Walimat al-Nikah, which is known to be the wedding feast. Al-Walima, the word Walima is an Arabic word. And when it is used, it means Tu'am al-Urs, Yudu'a ilayhi al-Nasu wa yajma'un. It is the food prepared by the people involved in the marriage. Yudu'a ilayhi al-Nas, that other Muslims or other people are invited in. Wa yajma'un, and they gathered to partake. So walima has to do with food given to the people for the purpose of marriage. And in Sunnah, it is one of the duties of the husband. It has nothing to do with the wife or the family of the wife. Unlike what we know of the most common practice among the people, that the walima has to be organized by the wife or the family of the wife. That is the most common practice among the cultures. So in Islam, it is one of the duties of the husbands to do. But you still know, amal walima tulin meka. According to this book, established that it is sunnah, it is a recommendation, it is a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to organize a wedding feast. Though we have some scholars who have the opinion that wedding feast is not a recommendation, rather it is an obligation, it is wajib, that whoever that is able to do it and who does not do it, then it's a sin. So it's a sinner. While we have the majority of the scholars who had the opinion it is sunnah, even if one has the means to do it and he refuses to do it, there's no sin on him. The hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The basic reference on the practice of wedding feast in Islam is linked hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was one of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was among the richest of the companions. أنه تزوج امرأة فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that he married a woman. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم noticed in his clothes something like a yellowish substance, just like a color on his body. So that means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not aware that he engaged in marriage. He had a wife. And that shows the difference between walima and akidu. Walima, most people they are aware of it because it has to be announced, publicized, and people will be invited to it. Unlike akidu nikah. Akidu nikah, most people will not be aware of it. But at least, aside the guardian, the wali, or the father of the lady, then there should be at least two witnesses, two people to witness to that marriage contract, akidu nikah, making them to be five, the wali, the lady, the husband, and the two witnesses. So at least five people must be aware of marriage. That's the essence of akidu nikah, the marriage contract in Islam. So far, the guardian has given his consent to that, then the marriage has become valid in Islam. We've explained this under the discussion of conditions of walima to nikah, now conditions of nikah. So unlike walima, the wedding feast, you know, you invite people from different parts to the gathering. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed a yellowish fat in the body of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Then he challenged him, what is this? How do you do about this? Then he said, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I married a woman. Maybe, you know, the women, when they have occasions like marriage, they practice the use of khidab, that thing that they use to make designs in their bodies, in their hands, that Islam does not see anything wrong with it. It is the opposite of tattooing. Tattooing is haram because it has to do with piercing of the body, and anything that has to do with the piercing of the body must have a reference in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Otherwise, it will become haram because we are not allowed to do that. So, maybe when he was playing with his new wife, the design, the beauty that the woman made, touched the body of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that in his body. And he said to him, to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, what is this? He explained. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aulim walaw bishad. Aulim walaw bishad. Organize a wedding feast. And if it is not either, it will be more than slaughtering a ram or a goat or a cow or a camel, because the word shat entails the four different lifestyles that we have, the camel, the cow, the sheep, and the goat. So how then follow the shat? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him to do that, so that he should do that by slaughtering the shat. أولم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على زينب بخبز ولحم. And another reference is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself married Zainab bint Jahsh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He prepared for the invite, for the invited people, slaughtered ram, the smoked meat with bread. So all this are buttressing that walimatu nikah should be organized by the husband, not the wife. Now in Yoruba culture, it is the wife and the family of the wife that are responsible for it. Only for the family of the husband to come as est to the family of the wife. This is the opposite of sunnah. What we have in the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that it is the husband that will organize walima. And the most perfect of it is that it should be organized after the woman has packed in. The woman has packed in as wife. Not, it not be the same day where the marriage contract will take place, and in the same day that the woman will be taken to the husband's wife. So yes, people do it. They combine both the akidu, marriage contract, and wedding feast together. Yes, there's no anything in it, but that is not the best way to do it. So وَأَوْلَمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَعْدِ نِسَائِهِ بِمُدَّيْنِ مِنْ شَعِيرٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also organized the wedding feast without slaughtering, only that he used two muds of sha'ir, of barley, to prepare food for the people. That shows that slaughtering an animal to prepare a feast for the invited guest is not compulsory. Yes. It now depends on the ability and the financial status of the man, of the husband. Yes. If what the husband can afford is to prepare zobo. No zobo. Yes. With biscuit. No problem. Or to prepare fura with anything that is affordable, it is not necessary. So if you understand this, you will know that you don't put into what you now become blameworthy of it, as we have in many marriages today, where some people, those who are involved in marriage, they will borrow big money, huge money, in order to prepare for their wedding feast. At the end of the day, so it now become a liability on them. So other responsibilities will be affected. Yes, the school children are there, the children's school fees are there, the children's mother is there, and so on and so forth. Everything. So because of wedding, they will go to bank to borrow money. They will go to Lakbo to borrow money. They will go to this, they will go to that to borrow money, where they don't have. Islam does not make it compulsory on the husband to do that. But if one has the means to do it, there's no problem. It is a good act. It is one of the practices of Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. Then, al-mas'alatu sabi'ah, the discussion on that is, hukm ijabati da'wati walimati al-urs. What is the ruling? If one is invited to a wedding feast, what is the ruling of it? Is it compulsory? Is your friend in the office, is your friend in the community, invites you to his wedding feast? Is it compulsory on you to attend, or is it not compulsory on you? يجب على من دعية لوليمة عرس أن يجيب. It is compulsory on whoever that is invited to a wedding feast to attend. Yes, there are two ways of inviting people to wedding feast. One, if one is invited specifically, directly, you are sent the IV. Even your name sometimes may be written on it, or you are called in one way or the other that you are specially invited to it, then you must attend. It is compulsory on whoever that is invited to the wedding feast to attend. It is compulsory. This is the reign of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But those who are not specially invited, yes, they may go if they know that the organizer will not feel bad when seeing them. They will be happy when seeing them. They can go. So if one is not invited, one can stay at home. One may not attend it. There's what we call a da'watul jafla. Da'watul jafla is when a party or a wedding feast is made to be public. No one is specially invited. At the same time, everybody is invited. It's jafla. We call it jafla. So if it comes jafla and you attend, yes, there's no harm. There's no anything. There's no harm on that. Sometimes we hear that, okay, everyone is invited. So when the organizer said everyone is invited, it means you don't need to wait for any IV before you attend. So in that case, it's now being recommended on you. If you have the means, you go. If you don't have the means, then you don't have the chance, you will stay at home. But if you are specifically invited, you have to go. Except you have a cogent reason for you not to attend. So it is compulsory on whoever, a male or female, that is invited to a wedding feast to attend. The hadith of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, the reference is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, when he reported that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دُعِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى الْوَلِيمَ فَلْيَأْتِهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever any one of you is invited to your wedding feast, then he must attend. He must attend, he must go. وحديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. The another reference is hadith of Abu Huraira that رسول الله عليه وسلم said, من لم يجب الدعوة فقد عصى الله ورسوله. Whoever that is invited to the wedding feast and he does not partake, he does not attend, then he has sinned against Allah and against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with these two hadith references, the scholars argue that it is compulsory, that it is a sin on whoever that is invited to a wedding feast and he does not attend without any genuine reason, then such a person is a sinner, because he cannot, any act that will make him to go sin against Allah and is mentioned by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that act is punishable. Then that means to keep one away from perpetrating such an act will be compulsory. So attending a wedding feast that one is specially invited to is compulsory. Shurutu ijabati da'wati walimatul urs. Then what are the conditions? What are the conditions of attending a wedding feast? Because it is not every wedding feast that you attend as a conscious Muslim. It is not every party that you go saying that since I'm invited, so I have to be there. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said you should invite. No. It is not every wedding feast, not every walima, not every naming ceremony, not every housewarming that a conscious Muslim will partake in it. Then, what are the conditions What are the conditions to establish that? If those conditions are there, then it's compulsory on you to attend. And if those conditions are not there, it will not be a sin on you. Yes, you are let out of that wedding season. Don't partake in it. Number one, أَتَكُونَ إِيَنْ وَلِيمَةِ الْأُولَى فَإِنْ أَوْلَ مَا فِي أَكْثَرْ مِنْ يَوْمٍ إِسْتُحِبَّ فِي ثَالِي وَقَرِيَ فِي ثَالِي. That is, you know, walima in Islam, in Sunnah, it can be done for a complete week, from Sunday to Monday, Monday to Tuesday, from Sunday to Saturday. So there's no harm in that. There are some people like that. There are some cultures like that. So there's nothing wrong with that. If one feels that, okay, the wedding feast that I want to do will take up to 1 month or 2 weeks or 1 week or 3 days or 4 days or 2 days. But the first day will be the one that will have the ruling of obligation, not the second day. So you cannot come today is Sunday, and you still expect us to come on Monday. So we will go to work. So if we go on Monday, on Tuesday, it is Sunnah, but it's not compulsory. But that of Sunday, the first day, it is compulsory. You must understand this, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ta'amu awwal al-yawmi haqqun." The first day of walima, of wedding feast, yes, it was, it haqqun, is the right of your brother that I invited you. You have to give him his right. That is brotherhood in Islam. So the first day is when we exercise the brotherhood. So exercising the brotherhood in Islam is a means to attend to an obligatory act of worship. So the first day is a right. It's a means of giving him his right. That means not giving him his right is a sin. وَتُحَامِ يَوْمُ الثَّانِي سُنَّةً. The second day is Sunnah. The second day is Sunnah. وَتُعَامُ يَوْمُ الثَّالِي is Sumwah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, was making it on the third day to be Sumwah. It is part of some cultures, but it is Sumwah. You want people to hear you, to know, to see you. And whoever that wants the people to hear him, whenever you doing any righteousness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relate with him in the same manner. And this may is not welcome in Islam. It's one of the ways of hypocrisy for someone to fall into hypocrisy. You know, so that means the best practice of it is to do it the fourth day, the second day. So, but for those invited guests, then the fourth day is the one that is compulsory upon you, not the second day. Number two, أَيَقُولَ الدَّاعِي مُسْلِمًا فَلَا تَجْوِي جَوَةِ دَوَةِ الْكَافِرِ. The one that invites must be someone, must be a Muslim, not a non-Muslim. Must be the most, not the non-Muslim. If your friend is in the office or in the community who is a Christian, invite you to his wedding. His wedding feast, it is not compulsory on you to attend. But if you attend, it's good. In order to create more relationships, so far, other conditions are fulfilled. Yes, so far other conditions are fulfilled. So, but in case of a Muslim, then you have to attend. If you're a Muslim, you have to attend. But if you're not Muslim, it is not compulsory on you to attend. So attending to a wedding feast organized by a Muslim, then it's compulsory. Number three, أَيَكُونَ الدَّاعِي مِنْ غَيْرِ الْإِصَاطِ الْمُجَحِرِينَ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. وَلَيَكُونَ ظَالِمَا أَوْ صَائِمَا بِالْحَرَامِ. The man that organized the walima should not be someone who is known with committing evils, publicizing evils. Someone that is a drunkard and is known in the community to be so. Someone is a zanier, to commit zina, and everyone knows him to be that. It should be someone like Agbero, those who take people's wealth without their consent, with force. So if any one of them should organize a party, then conscious Muslims should not attend. It should not attend. So that it should serve as a lesson for him. But I invented this imam. Imam did not come. That means what I'm doing. But if such imam organizes a walima, a kickoff, or any one of the permissible assists in Islam, and all of you rush to the place, how do you want him to learn then? Yes. So you will see the people's glory when you see big personalities attending your program. So in that case, if the person is known to be a sinful one, that his manner of committing sin is known to everybody in the community, then you should not attend. Or someone who used unjust way to take people's property and using it to organize walima, then you don't attend. Number four, and takuna da'wa mu'ayyana. أن تكون الدعوة معينة فإن دعاه في جمع فلا تجب الإجابة. That is, the attending to marriage feast will become compulsory if you are specifically invited to it. Yes. الدعوة المعينة. You are specially invited. Maybe the person comes to your house to tell you, my friend, I want you to attend that again. And you check it, you are free that day, you have to attend. Or he sends a message to you through social media or ID. You know, there are different ways. He sends someone to you. So if you are specially invited, then it will not become compulsory on you to attend. But in the hour of Jamie Fala, thank you for each other. But any message to the word Jafla, I doubt what Jafla. We explained it at the beginning of this lecture. That is just last. It's when the announcement is made on the radio or a small write-up on invitation is sent through all the social media outlets that Aladdin has a wedding feast and everyone in the Muslim community is invited. All the Muslims in the world are invited, so it is not compulsory on you. And that is why he will not be sad if he does not see you, because he did not invite you specially. So da'wat jafla. Da'wat jafla means when everyone is invited, not generally. So whoever that has a name, that has a chance to go, yes, no problem. And if you have the chance to go and you don't partake, there's not anything on you because you are not specially invited. Number five, أن يكون القصد من الدعوة التودد والتقوي التفرق فإن دعاه لخوف من أو طمع في جاه فلا تجب الإجابة. Number five, the fifth condition says that the intention of he calling you, of you attending, you inviting you, and you of him inviting you and you attending, should be, the intention should be what? Should be to get a tawaddud. Tawaddud means love. What a taqarrub and closeness.
to build good rapport in between. Yes, it's good. That's the essence. And you know, it is natural. If you have a wedding feast, those who partake, you know, you will love them. And they love you, right? That is why they come. So their participation will increase the love. You welcome them, we increase the love. For in the meaningful. If the person invites you, but we fear that if I don't fear this man, he will beat me anytime he comes across me on the road, then you don't invite. You don't call. Don't attend. So if someone invites you to a wedding or to a feast or to a party, for the fear of you punishing him, then don't go. Don't go. And when you see him on the road, don't go. Yes. Because the essence is not there. The essence is to increase the love and the compassion. So I'll talk if you judge him, or if the person invites you just to be boastful of you, my wedding is next month, you will see Tinubu, that day, you will see president. President should not attend. Should not attend. So whoever that invites you in order to use you as an object of what? Of boasting to the people, to the community, don't do that. Otherwise, you may fall in riya. You may fall in riya if you know that. You may fall in riya. Show off. And show off is haram. Then, fala tajibu al-ijaba, don't attend such the wedding feast. If the intention has to do with what Islam has established for. Please, to increase love and also to ensure mutual relationship. Then number six, Allah yakunu fil walima munkar kakamurin wa gina wa ma'as bi baksilati wa jalib al-nisa. The sixth condition is that forbidden things should not be in that walima. Forbidden things should not be in that walima. Should not be there. If one is not aware, by the time you get there, you discover that, what is this? Is it not walima to Mecca? Is it not organized by a Muslim? Just like in the way of the non-Muslims, then all sorts of evil things have been committed. Then you don't attend. You go back to your house. So if walima should be free of munkar. Munkar means anything forbidden by Islam. Anything forbidden by Islam. Anything that Islam has made to be haram. And if that thing is being done or is made available in walima, then you don't attend. They gave examples like khamr. Khamr means alcohol, intoxicants. If the intoxicants are placed on the tables, on all the tables, and it is one of these things that are going to eat, how do you sit down when someone that sits beside you at the same table will be drinking alcohol? It is a haram. In fact, I see direct evidence against that. Tamah. صلى الله عليه وسلم سيد من كان يؤمن واليوم الآخر فلا يجلس على مقعد يدار عليه الصبر وهذا that believes in Allah and the last day should not sit on the seat where the alcohol intoxicants being shared or being placed should not be there. So that means there's not any time that you and a drunkard will sit together to eat on a table. Yes. Even if you go to a restaurant or you go to anywhere you want to go to enjoy yourself, and you discover that they sell alcohol, they sell all these forbidden drinks, then as Muslims, you have to go. You leave the place. You leave the place. Only you cannot claim the table. Yes. Maybe two, three, or four. So you will be drinking Fanta. Someone in your front will be drinking Ogogoro. The one beside you will be drinking Smash now. The one here will be drinking Olumbo. You are taking Fanta. It is haram in Islam. It's haram. But even it has become necessity, or it has become necessary on you to eat, maybe you are hungry, then you take your food and you stand somewhere. You stand somewhere. That is number one. So that means any wedding feast that will know that the alcohol or the intoxicants have been shared, then you don't attend. If you see yourself there and you discover this, you have to leave. Number two, wagina wa muhazif, musical instruments. Music is being played. Then you have to leave the place. Because we don't listen to music in Islam. We listen to song. Song is different from music. Music comes with musical instruments like guitar. So it's haram for it. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it can come when some people will legalize listening to music and eating of pork. He said, I am afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not turn them to be khinzir, pigs. So it is haram to do that. And you don't allow yourself sitting beside someone who is listening to that. Or you find yourself in a gathering where the music is being played. Yes. All these DJs, you don't know anything that will make business. If you invite them to your own wedding to play a message or to play some lawful songs, don't be surprised that some of them will just think or basic it or thank you, I love you. Well, that's crazy. Not to be conscious. Yet, as Muslims, we don't partake. If you have the chance to call the organizer, change that song. Change it. If they change it, you see that you're rich. If they say, no, we don't want to change it, then you leave. But many of us, we try to please human beings like us. Not try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you cannot please human beings. Yes. Gaya tu naf la tudarak. You cannot. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can please. Then another one is waqtilatu rijali bin nisa. Or you get there, you discover that the way they organize, they arrange the seats, it's just mixed up, it's a khilaf. No partition. The men and women are just sitting together. No, this is not allowed in Sharia. It's not allowed in Islam. You cannot sit because you want to attend your friend's wedding. You cannot sit beside someone's wife. But you sit in front, you sit together with someone's wife or someone's women, it is not allowed. Then, for in Wujida, Sheikh Al-Mizalik, the Apostle said, if any one of these munkarat, the forbidden things, is observed in the walima, then it becomes non compulsory on you to attend that program. In the hadith in Jabra, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For the reference of Hadith of Jafar, who said, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كان يريد بالله فلا يقعدن على مقعدة يتابع عليه الصلاة. It is the same Hadith that we pray. Whoever that believes in Allah and the last day should not sit in a seat where, should not be in the gathering where the alcohol is
made available for people to drink. In a, even if you look at it, it's a way of safety. You cannot serve 50 people alcohol, and none of them will not be affected. At least two or three, if not more, if not all of them will be affected, they will become mad. At the end of the day, they will be throwing bottles. They will throw bottles. I was you, the only thing found out. If they throw bottles, what will happen? So there are then too. It is against the instruction of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you don't feel inferior, don't feel inferior to establish the fact, the sunnah, the teachings of Islam. When those that we feel ourselves inferior to, they don't even think of it. Whoever that is not ashamed to go against Allah's intentions, yeah, you should not be ashamed to the situation. But many people will do that. They will say, I don't want Allah to be angry with me. I don't want. But Allah is not mind. He does not mind. Yes, to do something that Allah does not please with. So it is not a thing. Sometimes it can be compulsory on you. When you get to a party, you have to leave. That's not party, but some parties like that. When you get there, you leave the place. Why? Because there are lots of atrocities according to Sharia. So you don't go. It gets to a level that even some people, when they get there and they discover that both man and woman, they are not compatible in Sharia, they will still sit down, asking for food. A Muslim lady getting married to a Christian, and you are sitting down, asking for all food. Which food? A Muslim lady getting married to an atheist, to a non-Muslim, to a Christian, to a Jew. Is that wedding? That's not wedding. There's no marriage in between. There's no marriage in between. You just like celebrating zina. Which is zina. But you still see some people who is I know it's not good though, but what will I do? If I go, my friend will be angry with me. Who is your friend? So let's try to please Allah. Pleasing Allah is limited. It's limited. Pleasing human being like this is unlimited. I don't like go against Allah's injunction. فَإِنْكَانَ كَانَ الْمُدْعُ يَسْتَطِيعُ إِزَالَةَ الْمُنْكَرِ بِحُضُورِهِ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْحُضُورُ. They said that if the one that is invited is able to change the evil thing being perpetrated in that wedding, then he must attend. He must attend, and he must try to change that evil thing. That is, in most cases, it affects the scholars of Sunnah. Yes, the scholars of Sunnah. Sometimes he is invited to a religious party. When you get there, you meet those affairs who are there to make money. Who are there to make money? You are there to do lecture. They are there to make money. There will be crisis. So you will not be given any, you don't have to talk, to do lecture. You must not sit down there. As a scholar, you have to leave. You have to leave. But if with all their evil practices, their anti-Sunnah practices there, you know, you will still be given 10 or 5 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes to do your own lecture, then sit down. But then they give you a microphone, then let people know the truth. That is the reason sometimes when you see a Sunni scholar in a gathering that you know that this gathering is not okay for a conscious Muslim to be. They may be in that gathering in order to correct the evil. Which they have the means to do that. But if they don't have the means, they must not attend.
So if they are sick, it's time for.
Inshallah, we continue after the Adhan. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاة حي على الفلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. قال المستمعون فإن كان المدعو يستطيع إزالة المنكر بالقضاء وجب عليه الحضور. If the one that is invited to the walima of the nikah, the wedding feast, or aqiqa, the naming ceremony, is able to remove any one of the unlawful practices there, then it is compulsory on him to ordain it. But if he won't be able to do that, he must not attend. Someone invited to the naming ceremony, and this same person calls for crates of alcohol. And you are the brother, or you are the father, or you are this, or you are this. Anyhow, if you have the means to ask him to return all those crates of alcohol, then it is compulsory on you to attend. And you now try to remove the evil practice there. But if you don't have the means to remove any evil thing being perpetrated, then don't go. You now ask him, yes, yeah. I like you, I didn't see you there. So that I didn't say much on my own. Ah, because I was told that you sell alcohol. Did I give alcohol? Don't have to give me alcohol before. So we should try to build our image, our understanding to this length. If he is not ashamed to sin against Allah, then we too, we should not be ashamed to establish what Allah asks us to establish. But many Muslims, you know, we think inferior. I don't want them to see us. I don't want. Making us to be part of evil. Quran says, "Wattaqu al-fitna." Fear the fitna. Yes. La tusibanna alladhina zalamu minkum khassatan. When the consequence of it comes back, it should not affect those who perpetrate it alone. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man raha minkum munkara فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ." Whoever among you, any forbidden thing, forbidden practice, forbidden treatment, فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ, let him change it with his hand. With his hand. This involves the government, it involves the people of authority, it involves the fathers at home, the masters in the vocational centers. They must change the evil with their hands, whether by beating. Yes, in Islam it is allowed to beat a child, that commits evils or that commits any wrong act. But that victim should not be more than 10. It's only the government that is allowed to beat more. In the case of hudud, capital punishment like drinking of alcohol, 40 lashes, committing zina or more sin, that is 100 lashes. But you are not like being hidden in the community. It may lead to crisis. Then,
but 15 are you?
That's number one. Number two, for 11 years, 30 years, I believe, Sani. The person of Allah Alayhi Wasallam said, if one is not able to remove evil with his hand, then you use your tongue. Using tongue is not the foundation. The foundation is to use hand. But if in one way or the other you don't have the need to use hand, but not every sinner that you are allowed to use your hand to correct is sin. Not every sinner. In some countries, if you beat somebody's tight, it will lead one to prison. Because you're not the teacher. You're not the father. So if you don't have the means to do that, then you use a hand, you use a tongue. So we have evils. In the case of you don't have the means to use our hand. Then the last one, for 11 years, 30 years, I've been calling the evil. That's how that's the man. If one does not, is not able to use tongue, he should use what? Heart. In the sense of not joining them. Not, you see, using heart to correct evil does not mean that you sit with the perpetrators of evil. No. You go. You leave them without telling them the reason why you are leaving. But you know that your leaving is to correct that evil. You don't want to partake. Some people misunderstood this. They will join them. They will sit down. They won't call it. They will just sit down. No, that is not. You will leave. Because you are not supposed to leave like that initially. You're supposed to use your hands to correct it. You are not able to do that. Then you connect into your tongue. Ah, it's haram, it's not good. Don't do this. So you cannot use your hand, you cannot use your tongue. What do? You leave. That benefit is the sign of using your heart to go against it. That is it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said, well, that can be after iman. You see, using tongue to correct is a sign of weakness of iman. When you now use your own heart to correct, it is a sign of more weakness of your heart. Yes, not only the heart. Even when you do not use the hand, the tongue, it's a sign of weakness. You're supposed to use heart in some areas. But the weakness of it is to use heart to correct evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this, inshallah, to continue on the issue of the concept of hulu. That is, we go into our marriage resolution, inshallah, next week. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Next week, Sajjah Muqad. Okay. Next week. Assalamu alaikum.